I seem to be on a famous last words kick. A couple weeks ago, I talked about and spoke from Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew's gospel, "Go and make disciples of all nations," and so on. These are Jesus' essentially last words in John's gospel, which is the latest of the four written, so these are the last words, as it were. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." It's an interesting parallel how John records this incident. He confronts Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter affirms that, sort of parallel to the three times he denied him before Jesus' crucifixion, and brings to the close the message, "Do you love me? Fair enough. Do it right, out of love." When the World Series ended a couple weeks ago, it occurred to me that there are two seasons in my year. There is the baseball season, and then there is the season we talk about the baseball season. And it occurred to me, something I remembered from the baseball season occurred to me this week, and why will be apparent in a second. It was one of those August games that doesn't mean very much. And in the middle of a game where the score was somewhat lopsided, there was a guy on first base with one out. And the batter hit a routine pop-up towards center field, short center field. Center fielder came in, the shortstop went out, the second baseman went out, all calling for the ball. Center fielder calls for it and then drops it, and it rolls away. Well, the guy on first base, of course, is just moving partly because 999 times out of 1,000, that ball's going to get caught. Ball's on the ground, rolls away. Inexplicably, the right fielder, who's backing up the play, picks the ball up and throws it to second base where the pitcher is covering. How did that work? Two guys that had no business being involved in the play made the out. The right fielder backing it up for no reason, the pitcher covering second for no reason, other than that's how you play the game. The announcer said, stunned that this had happened, said, "That was a veteran move." And it was. That was a veteran move. And yesterday was Veterans Day. So let's proceed from there. The veteran move in baseball is to play the game right, to honor the game, whether the play makes any difference at all. And the veteran move is a move of honor. And I think what those who serve in the military teach us about honor is that honor doesn't come in small packages. There is only honor, and it is or it isn't. Military academies are colleges. I teach in a college too, but there's one interesting and I think crucial difference in the culture of West Point versus Texas Tech and the other military academies as well. They have an honor code, which means we do not commit dishonesty, academic fraud, or in any other way defraud our world. Not only that, we don't tolerate in others who do. And failing to report or deal in some way with an honor code violation from someone else may result in serious sanctions to you. We uphold the honor code and we do everything possible to make sure others do the same. Now, Texas Tech has a code of student conduct. It's not an honor code, but it's there. And the last exam we had in my class of 300 or so, one of six 50-point exams, one of which can get dropped, we actually saw a kid that was probably looking at somebody else's paper. That is not only dishonest, it's just dumb. There's no reason to try to cheat on a 50-point exam when one of them gets dropped and you have six of them. And our choice was to take note of it. We could have intervened, made a federal case, and forced the Office of Student Conduct to adjudicate it, but I didn't have enough to get into a he said kind of a thing. So I just told the TA, "Don't report the grade, we'll see what happens." And yeah, sure enough, in a couple of days, I got an email from the student going, "Where's my grade? It's not online." And I just wrote back and said, "See me." So we had this little conversation, and I said, "Look, we'll report the grade in a day or so, but it wasn't entirely clear to us. It wasn't entirely clear to us that you were doing your own work. This is not an accusation, this is an observation. And it's henceforth incumbent on you to make sure that it is clear that you're doing your own work. It's to be sure that it is clear you are honoring the game, in a sense." And that we learn from veterans. The veteran move is to honor the game, even in the smallest of ways. The veteran move, secondly, is to embrace kinship, to embrace the reality that there are no people who are not kin. Since the Revolutionary War, with one horrific exception, every instance of armed U.S. combat has taken place in another country. U.S. veterans understand that there really is no us and them. There's only us for the sake of others. And that's a matter of kinship that becomes a way of life, an understanding that we are one in the company of others. Oddly biblical in a way, if you listen to Jesus very much. Who is my brother? More than you think. I like to teach this to my students by inviting them to imagine they're at a salad bar. And to imagine the unbelievable complexity of what's just sitting before you, and you wind up with a plate of food this big. Start at the salad bar, there's a big bowl of lettuce. That's the cheapest stuff there, and that's the biggest one, and you're supposed to fill up with that. Well, that bowl of shredded lettuce was once a head or two of lettuce that someone in the kitchen broke apart. And someone in the kitchen who broke it apart unpacked it from a box that had been unloaded from a truck that had been driven from a warehouse. You get the idea here? Driven on roads that were built by somebody, filled with gasoline that was refined, and all the way up the line, you know, the vegetables, the eggs, the bread, the jello. Finally, at the very end, where they got the good stuff, those little hunks of ham, that's my favorite part. I save room at the top for lots of ham. Those little hunks of ham were formerly farm animals that had been processed, as it were, without going into much detail. The larger point is this. That plate of food, when you walk away from the salad bar, is full of things that have been literally touched by hundreds of people, probably from 10 different countries. It's the most profound metaphor I know for diversity. To embrace that is to understand the larger reality that we are one. And to know that we are one, and to act as though that was true, that's the veteran move. The veteran move of honor, kinship. And finally, generosity. For the next minute or so, I'm going to talk about something I know nothing about, which is, sadly, much more common than you think. I'm just owning up to it today. I don't know much about what it's like to go through basic combat training or experience the close quarter living that people who serve start in the process of learning how to do that honorably and faithfully. I imagine that in close quarters, people get on your nerves from time to time with little weird things that people do in the act of being themselves. And yet the larger reality, the commitment to the cause, or to bring that more to our homes, the reality of love overrides the foibles. There's a generosity of spirit that's rooted in commitment and ultimately love. I didn't know until I got married that when I'm hungry, I get crabby. I had no idea. Living by yourself, you don't know that. I learned that this is part of who I am, and I've tried to learn how to deal with it. When you live in close quarters, or when you are in a deeply committed relationship and you spend close time together, you begin to see yourself not just in a mirror, but you begin to see yourself reflected in a sense in the eyes of those who love you, in the eyes of those who have committed to serve with you. And when you see yourself in the eyes of love and commitment reflected, you see the best of who you are. That is to say, close quarter living committed relationship and love, show you how to be more of what's the best in you. And that's where commitment, in a sense, overrides criticism. That's that generosity of spirit that says, you know what? We are in this. We have a cause. We have a family. That's why Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Of course I love you. Okay, well, let's then be on with the business of who we are and the miracle of who we are together. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed each other. Among the most powerful images of the veteran move of generosity of spirit, kinship, and honor crystallizes in my own mind, of course, on a baseball field. Have you seen news reports or have you been on YouTube for the Wounded Warrior softball team? These are guys mostly, but women too, who have experienced the relatively new version of horror of combat with lost limbs, and not just losing limbs, but more or less surviving them, and then learning to live with prosthetic limbs. And then with those prosthetic limbs, playing softball. Communities can invite the Wounded Warrior softball team to come play their all-stars and probably get beat by these guys because they have learned it's not just what you've lost. It's all about what you have left. And what you have left, no matter what you've lost, whether that be in the context of basic training, armed combat, Monday morning at work, or Thursday night in the company of someone who loves you, that what you always have left is the veteran move, honor, kinship, and a generosity of spirit. So maybe just starting in our own homes, in honor of Veterans Day, make the veteran moves and feed his lambs. Amen.